Let's take our Bibles tonight and open up with me, if you would, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. I'm going to divert from our series on the Ten Commandments, kind of for a special message on a special topic. A year ago, David Levy with the Friends of Israel wrote an incredible article that really got me thinking as I was rereading the article over the past week. Let me set this up for you tonight. It's a cold winter's night, snow is blowing. Perhaps a candle is flickering on the table. The kids are eager and anxious to open up their presents. And mom is in the kitchen. She's making the final preparations on the big meal. And after the dinner, before any presents are opened, dad is going to gather the family around him and he is going to read the story of that special night of miracles as the family listens intently to the story. Perhaps you hear that and it sounds like a picture of your own home. Sounds very traditional. Maybe we would say that is a very old-fashioned kind of a Christmas. However, that's not what the story is about. This is a Hanukkah story. This is a story about a celebration that starts on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, and will run through until sunset on Wednesday, December the 20th. For those of you that have never heard a message on this topic, I like to preach on this once a year. Perhaps you're wondering what in the world Hanukkah is. From 175 until 165 BC, Antiochus IV Epiphanes was in control of Judea. He wanted to Hellenize all the Jewish people, and so to do that, he had to eradicate Judaism. He issued a decree that all the Jewish people had to worship and serve the Greek gods. He took over the temple in Jerusalem. He set up idols in the city and the temple. He burned the Torah, which is the law of Israel. He forbade the practice of circumcision. He forbade the keeping of the Jewish feast days and the observance of the Sabbath. Anybody who disobeyed suffered death. This was a very ruthless individual. He desecrated the temple by sacrificing a pig and offering its flesh and blood upon the altar to the god Zeus Olympus. He then desecrated the Torah scrolls by pouring the broth of a roasted pig over them. There was a family led by a man by the name of Matthias Maccabee, a Hasmonean priest, and his five sons who lived in Modin, which was about 3 miles away from Jerusalem. And they began an uprising to get rid of Antiochus IV. They revolted against him. Matthias dies, and his son, Judas Maccabees, is the one who takes over and continues in this fight. As the story goes, and this is all historical information, within 3 years they had defeated Antiochus IV and driven the Syrians out of Israel. They cleansed the temple of all the Greek gods and removed everything that the Syrians had done to desecrate it. The problem is, and this is where it goes from factual to tradition, because the historians do not bother to record this. But the Jewish people to this day assert very strongly that this is exactly what took place. They had only enough oil left for the menorah for one day, and there was not enough time to consecrate more oil. So they believed that God would somehow miraculously supply, and that one day's supply lasted them long enough, and it lasted for days in order that they could consecrate more oil to be used. The temple was rededicated on the 25th of Kislev in 165 BC. Hanukkah is also known as the Feast of Dedication and also as the Feast of Lights. It's an 8-day commemoration of the rededication of the temple and what took place led by Judas Maccabee. Now, a Christian might say, well, I'm a Christian and I celebrate the birth of Christ. Therefore, Hanukkah has absolutely nothing for me. The Jewish individual might say, well, yes, we celebrate Hanukkah. That is the story that we tell. It's that season of the year, and we don't have to be caught up in the Christ of the Christians. Therefore, Christmas has nothing for us. You know who's right in the story? Neither one. Neither one, because both Hanukkah and Christmas have some wonderful parallels that can be used. In fact, and I this is neat, I read this in an article not 3 hours ago, so that's pretty fresh, right? Not 3 hours ago, I picked up a magazine, I was reading it, And in that magazine, I'd never thought about this, people have made the comment through the years, why December 25th for the Christians? Because most would agree that Christ was not born on December 25th. That is simply the date that was chosen to celebrate the birth of Christ. You have a faction of Christians, and I think probably trying to be well-meaning Christians, but they will say, well, we shouldn't celebrate it on the 25th because all Christmas is the follow-up of a pagan holiday that was Christianized. And they will say, that's why we chose the 25th. However, in this article, it brought out a very interesting point, and I already alluded to it. Hanukkah, well, first of all, when do we celebrate Christmas? What day? December 25th. Some of you are a little sketchy on that. December 25th. Don't want you to miss it. Hanukkah starts on the 25th day of Kislev. You see, the Jewish people do not use the same calendar that we use. We use a Gregorian calendar. The Jewish calendar is totally different. And so it has been suggested in this article that there is the coinciding of these two holidays on those dates in December. What equates to our December 25th is the 25th day of their calendar, the day of Kislev, which falls in the month of December. Is that really the reason? I don't know, but it's the first time I'd ever read that, and I thought, well, I kind of thought that was interesting. If you don't think that's interesting, just smile, nod, and make me think that, wow, like you're just enthralled. I gave you grand information, and I'll feel better as I begin the message tonight. In Matthew chapter 1, I want to give you tonight six parallels, six reasons why we can use both Hanukkah and we can use Christmas as a way to present Christ, and why both are important. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." First of all, both celebrations highlight a night of deliverance. A night of deliverance. Hanukkah commemorates the victory of the Jewish people over spiritual oppression and defilement. Christmas highlights the birth of Messiah, who comes to deliver people from the real spiritual oppression, the real oppression that they need deliverance from. And Matthew says that Jesus would come to save his people from their sins. Who is his people? The Jewish people. So go with me to John chapter 1. In John chapter 1 and verse 11, the scripture tells us that Jesus Christ, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Go to Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. The apostle Paul, very strongly says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Who did the gospel come to first? It came first to the Jewish people. It came first to the Lord's people. It was a night of deliverance. The Jews have always been an oppressed people. Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes is in a long line of those who have oppressed the Jewish people. And there is a huge group of people since Antiochus the Fourth that have oppressed the Jewish people. At the time of the writing of this, they were under the enslavement of Rome, and the Jewish nation was a state-run nation by Rome. The Jewish people wanted emancipated from the Roman government. When Jesus Christ came, they wanted him to deliver. Remember that when he made the triumphal entry, and they are crying out, "Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David," what they were asking for is, "Save us now." They wanted this deliverance. And the reason they rejected Jesus is that Jesus did not come to deliver them from the Roman oppression. He didn't come to deliver them from the Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes of the world. He came to deliver the soul of mankind. Once they didn't get what they expected, they rejected Jesus. They rejected the deliverance that had come to him. So at Hanukkah, we recognize it's a night of deliverance, but we also recognize that it's a night where deliverance is rejected. Because how many people have rejected Jesus to this day? They have rejected the deliverance that is theirs. Consider the next one. Let's go to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, it is a night of lights. It is a night of lights. The Hanukkah menorah has 8 candles with the 9th candle in the middle called the shamash, or the servant candle. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 30, it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 30, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. Just back a few pages to Mark chapter 10 and verse 45. And here it says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give himself a life, a ransom for many." The word minister there means to serve. He didn't come so that people would serve him, but rather he came to serve. He came to be the shamash candle, that candle in the middle that it serves all the other ones. Jesus Christ came to serve. If you will, Jesus is that candle, the servant candle. And as he is the light of the world. Now, we're going to be talking about this. This is the part of the Christmas Eve night message. And I'm not going to get into where I'm going to go with that message that night. But I want you to think for just a minute how Jesus Christ, he is the light of the world. It's a night of lights. And that middle candle ought to remind the Jewish people that when Messiah came, the Messiah they were looking for, he came to serve, not to be served. And he will light all who will allow themselves to be lit. Haven't you ever had a candle that you would try to light it and it wouldn't light? Wasn't that irritating? And it usually happened at a very important time where you needed that candle to light and it wouldn't light. You were using another candle or a lighter or something trying to get that thing lit. You could have put a blowtorch on that thing and it just wouldn't light. And how many people today, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, wants to light people up, but they refuse to be lit? That's not the fault of the servant candle, but rather that's the fault of the people that won't be lit by Christ. All who will, Jesus will light them. Tonight, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, aren't you glad for the night or the day when Jesus lit your fire? If the Lord hasn't lit your fire, well, then what are you basing salvation on? And maybe you're here tonight as a Christian, and maybe, you remember the Apostle Paul said to stir up the flame, rekindle those embers. Maybe you're here tonight as a child of God, and the fire's kind of died down a little bit. I challenge you tonight, let the Lord rekindle that fire. Let him fan the flames in your life. Consider something else. Both Hanukkah and Christmas are nights of giving. It's a night of giving. At Hanukkah time, they exchange presents. Christmas time, how many of you are hoping you get a Christmas present? Put your hand up. Come on, you are. I know we say, oh, you shouldn't have had, but we're glad they did, aren't you? You're glad somebody loves you enough and got you a present. I can't imagine anybody saying, I don't want nothing. Don't you dare give me a gift. Nobody's going to say that. If they do, they got something wrong with them. You want the present. Just admit it. You say, but that sounds greedy. You know, and I know, Christmas, there's a lot of commercialization that goes along with Christmas. I understand that. But folks, there is absolutely nothing wrong with buying gifts for others or making gifts or baking gifts. There is nothing wrong with giving gifts to other people. Nothing wrong at all with that. In fact, it is very biblical. They did it for Hanukkah. Well, turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 3. Isn't Christmas a time of gift giving? Well, John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Let's consider some questions here tonight. First of all, who gave the gift? The Bible tells us that God the Father gave the gift. What was the gift? The Bible tells us that Jesus was the gift. When did God give the gift? Well, technically, the gift was given before the foundation of the earth. But if we want to get right down to when it happened, well, it's what we celebrate at Christmas, when Jesus Christ was born, the incarnation. Where did he give Jesus? Where did he give the gift? He gave the gift initially in a manger in Bethlehem. But ultimately, the gift was given on the tree. We place our gifts under the tree, but God placed his gift on the tree. You ever thought about that? What a gift that was given. Why did he give the gift? Well, why do we give gifts? Do we not give gifts to other people because we love them? I mean, it's just, you know, as the song says, it is the most wonderful time of the year. And there's something within our hearts that even a person that you feel the grouchiest toward, it's like, yeah, it is Christmas, all right. And you realize that there is a spark of love in your heart for that person. And so you give that gift. Both Hanukkah and Christmas are reminders that God is the giver of gifts. And as Christians, we can use this opportunity to tell other people about the greatest gift that's ever been given. And here's, you say, well, I've got people that, yeah, I'd like to give them a gift, but they don't want to hear anything about Christmas. Well, then don't tell them about Christmas yet. Tell them about Hanukkah. Because Bryan, Ohio is not exactly the hotbed of Judaism. You ever notice that? And you probably don't know a single Jew. You say, well, then how in the world can this message be helpful to me? Because I don't know any Jewish person to share the joys of Hanukkah with. But you know people that really don't want to hear anything about Christmas. And yet on Tuesday, and it's on their calendar, is that holiday called Hanukkah. Blow their minds and wish them a happy Hanukkah. Just blow their minds. Go up to them and say, hey, happy Hanukkah. Huh? Yeah, happy Hanukkah. What do you mean happy Hanukkah? What's wrong with you? Look at your calendar. It's today. I didn't want to miss out. I got you a gift. You know, they won't accept it at Christmas time. We'll give it to them on Tuesday. Well, I didn't plan for that. Hanukkah's an 8-day celebration. You got 8 days. Somewhere in the middle of that, go up to them and say, Happy Hanukkah. I can't say it. Happy Hanukkah. Give them the gift. You say, what's wrong with you, man? What are you giving me a gift for in the middle of the week? Well, let me tell you about Hanukkah. You know anything about it? And then you start telling them some history. They might be interested. And then find your way to segue that to tell them about Christ. Isn't that sneaky? Oh, that's good, though. That's good. I mean, you just slide that right in there. You know, you did that with your kids that wouldn't eat broccoli and cauliflower. You knew it was good for them. So you had to find a way to slide it in. These people don't need to know about Christ. They say, I don't want to hear about it. Don't you tell me about Christ. Okay, happy. I did it. Happy Hanukkah. What? Slide it in. You got the opportunity. Consider the next one. Both are nights of peace. Both celebrate peace. Hanukkah commemorates a time of deliverance for the Jewish people from their enemies who had come into Israel. And Christmas, as we talked about this morning, celebrates the peace that Jesus Christ brings. John chapter 12, verse 27. Would you look at that with me? Chapter 14 and verse 27. John 14, verse 27. Consider what Jesus encouraged his disciples with as he's telling them he's getting ready to leave. And he says to them in John 14 and verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Both are celebrations and nights of peace. Folks, our world is so lacking peace. I mean, I don't care what the newscast is that you watch. You can see rioting and crimes and hatred and violence and all sorts of things in every place because our world lacks peace. And even in quiet little old Bryan, Ohio. I know sometimes you read the court logs for stuff that goes on in Bryan. And it's like, how embarrassing that that's even in there. But, you know, think about it. Some of the things that have showed up in our court logs, the police were called because somebody couldn't get their kid to obey. And I read that and I think, that's absolutely ludicrous. That's embarrassing. Why is that in the paper? But doesn't that highlight just the lack of peace? Domestic violence, husbands and wives not getting along and fighting and all that kind of stuff. It's in the paper. We have, even in our own little town, a lack of peace. In San Jose, California, thousands of people every year will go to the Winchester Mansion. It's a massive structure that was built by Sarah Winchester, the widow of the man who made the Winchester rifles. For 38 years, from 1884 until her death in 1922, the house was under constant construction, constantly, round the clock. And people have tried to figure out, why did she do this? Some have said that she did this because she believed that so long as the house was under construction, she would live. And others said that it was because she was afraid that she would be haunted by every person that one of her husband's guns had killed. Whatever her reason was, it showed a lack of peace. In that building are over 10,000 windows. Aren't you glad you don't have to wash those? There are 160 rooms in total. It is estimated that she spent more than $70 million in today's money on basically a large and pointless construction. There are rooms that lead, or hallways that will lead to just a blank wall. And it just stops. Why would somebody do something like this? You say, well, they had to be messed up in the head a little bit. Yeah, they lacked peace. But we are reminded at Christmas time, and we are reminded through the story of Hanukkah, about peace that comes when the violence stops, when the aggression stops, when the enemies are taken care of. And again, as we said this morning, the greatest enemy that we have is not some other nation or anything else. The greatest enemy that we have is sin and the devil. And it's that sin nature. And Jesus Christ says that without Christ as Savior, we are at enmity with God. And there is only one way to bring peace to the person that is at enmity with God. And that is to accept the gospel of peace, that message. Now go to John's Gospel, chapter 10. Hanukkah is also a night of the Messiah's deity. It is a time of the Messiah's deity as well as is Christmas. You say, well, how could Hanukkah be about the deity of Christ? Well, maybe not originally Hanukkah, but take a look at this. John chapter 10, verse 22, and it was at Jerusalem, the Feast of the Dedication. What in the world is that? Well, it's also known as the Feast of Lights. Well, what in the world is that? Hanukkah. Because that's exactly what Hanukkah means, Feast of Lights. And it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. So Jesus chose to come to this celebration to acknowledge Hanukkah. And then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I have said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now here's the bothersome verse. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. On this Hanukkah celebration, as at Christmas, because you remember in Isaiah 7:14, the Bible prophesied that Jesus was going to come, or this baby was going to come, born of a virgin, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted means So deity shows up at Christmas, and deity reveals himself at this Hanukkah celebration. And this is what the people couldn't stand. They couldn't stomach the truth. Wouldn't you think in Isaiah, a few hundred years before Jesus comes, and it's already been told that Emmanuel, his name should be called Emmanuel, wouldn't you think that all the Jewish people would be perked up, their ears would be open, they're listening, they're looking, they're watching, they're anticipating that somebody's going to come named Emmanuel? And so when this individual comes, wouldn't you think that they would just be beside themselves saying, he's finally here. We knew he was coming. He's finally here. This should have been no surprise to them whatsoever when Jesus Christ asserted his deity. They'd already been told deity was coming. And yet they fought against it. Today, deity is fought against. Why is Christmas such an issue? It is because of deity. That very first word, Christ. You see, if we talk about God, and our world has no problem talking about God, they don't have any problem talking about the Holy Spirit. You want to know why? Because the Holy Spirit, to the world, is something that they've seen on Star Wars as the Force, which is disgusting that they would take the Spirit of God and reduce him to such terminology. But that's how the world views when you talk about the Spirit of God. They kind of equate it like that. Well, God. They don't seem to have a problem with God, because in their minds, God is a God of their own making. Or even if they want to acknowledge the God that, yep, the Bible talks about God, and he's just somebody way far, far, far away. But when you talk about Jesus, Max Lucado wrote a book many, many years ago entitled, God Came Near. God Came Near. All of a sudden, God became touchable. God became relatable. God became somebody physically right there. And God demands of every life to get in line, to accept his son Jesus as Savior, and to be conformed to the image of Christ. And people are threatened by that. People are threatened by Christ because Christ calls you into a changed life. The deity. The last thing, let's go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, the last thing we look at tonight is both Hanukkah and Christmas. It's a night of fellowship. Both holidays feature families and friends getting together and celebrating. For the Jewish people, and I will give the Jewish people an awful lot of credit here, because when they come together to celebrate Hanukkah, they come together to celebrate what happened. I mean, that's the whole purpose of Hanukkah. And a lot of times as Christians, we have forgotten what the real purpose of Christmas is. Oh yeah, we know. But how many times have our Christmas get-togethers, even with other Christians, have really had absolutely nothing to do about Christ? We just got together to eat. We got together to have some fun, to play some games, to, you know, it had really nothing to do about Christ. But yet when the Jewish people come together to celebrate Hanukkah, and every time that a candle, each night of Hanukkah, a different candle is lit, and there is a blessing that is recited in Hebrew, and it all points to what took place back there as God blessed and took care of their needs. And by the way, I do believe that God provided that miracle at Hanukkah. You say, can you prove it? No, I can't prove any miracle. If I could prove it, it wouldn't be miraculous. But I believe that that really took place. I don't believe Jesus would have shown up at Hanukkah time in the Scriptures if it hadn't really happened. I don't believe he would have honored the event with his presence and used it as an opportunity to present himself as God. But a night of fellowship. 1 John chapter 1 says this. Verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Real fellowship, Christian fellowship, comes not because we get together and enjoy each other's company and enjoy food and enjoy games and enjoy laughter and all those kinds of things. Christian fellowship comes because it is a fellowship that begins with Jesus. That's where it all starts. We, as I said, we probably don't have many Jewish friends, maybe don't know even a single Jewish person, but we can use both of these celebrations to point people to Jesus Christ. Christian, tonight, would we do that? If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, one of the things that we have got to learn from both of the stories is this. If you reject Christ, the Jewish people by and large have rejected Jesus Christ. And so many people today in our world, Gentiles, have rejected Jesus Christ. They have rejected the Christ of Christmas. And if you're here tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, my friend, the Bible says that you are under the penalty of your sin. You are under condemnation. You're on your way to an eternity in hell, and there's absolutely nothing that you can possibly do to save yourself. It is about coming to Jesus Christ, the one who died for your sins, was buried in the tomb, and arose again from the grave. And He's the one who offers the gift of salvation. Only Jesus can free you from that condemnation. Lost person tonight, will this be the night where you find the peace that Jesus Christ offers? Stand with me, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Tonight, Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that in the quietness of this moment, that if there is one here that doesn't know Jesus as Savior, that this would be the night of salvation for them. We pray tonight, Lord, if as believers in Christ, that you might take this simple message and the simple points. Help us, Lord, to see a different way that we might be able to introduce people to Jesus. Help us, Lord, to use whatever means that we have available to us to be faithful witnesses for you. For we pray and ask it in Jesus' name.